I think I'm going to give two illustrations to help us not get sucker punched, because it does happen. I'm convinced that if the adversary had a favorite tool to inflict the body of Christ, it'd probably be the body of Christ. What hurts more? An enemy egg in your car or a loved one? Yeah, you're going to go, a loved one who's a Christian. You look at it, you're like, ouch. John 16:33 says, in this world you will have tribulation. You know, and I forgot to turn my phone off. But we're warned, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. Well, I wasn't expecting that. I told you there's mortar fire. I told you there's landmines. Walk with me. But every once in a while, mortar's going to go off. And every once in a while, you're going to find out, holy smokes, I forgot there's a super war. And instead of getting stressed out because we're being reminded that there's a nuclear war going on, we can stop and be thankful that every day we're not living in a bomb shelter. But every once in a while, you're going to be reminded this is a serious war going on. Yeah. But he doesn't have us living in perpetual fear. But every once in a while, you get a glimpse, and don't let that stress you out. Don't let that take all your focus. It will render you useless and doing nothing. But enjoy the life that we're living. Two examples that I had about friendly fire and being on guard was, one was myself. I came home from work, great day at work. Things are going great. I ministered this person to that person to that person. Things are going really, really well. If that starts ringing, go get it for me, okay? Anyways, what was so important about that? When things are going that well, am I walking step in step with our Father? Yeah, you guys ever had that? I'm praying with him. I'm checking in. Here things are going. I walk into my house and here's my family. Hey, how are you? Somebody snots off and says a nasty thing to me out of nowhere. And I'm like, what? Then they snot off again. What the hell are you doing? You know, and now I'm like, well. And then somebody else attacks me because I talk to them like that. And all of a sudden, like, now my heart rate goes up and everybody, and then they look at you like, what's your problem? You ever had that? Yep. Somebody instigated with you and they look at you and go, you got to relax. The point of that is I went and separated myself. Try to do it three times a day. I'm not as diligent as I should, but checking in, and talk to him. He doesn't want to read your mind. Speak. You have not because you ask not. Vent. See, I'm stressed out about this. I'm worried about this. I want to talk to you about that. It's about time. You know, there's something called freedom of will. I can't help you unless you ask for help. And I'm praying. I'm thanking for this. Thank you for this. And he's like, "What's your problem?" I go, "Oh." Home, great day. Got sucker punched, then sucker punched, and then jumped. And then I acted like a natural man because I got sucker punched. Now I'm. So you got sucker punched, and then you disappointed yourself because you reacted to them. And I went, yeah. He went, why don't you have your armor on? What's that? Man comes home. Home's his castle. I come home from work. I go into my castle. I take off my equipment. I shouldn't have to wear my helmet and my shield. You take it off. I'm coming home, man, home. And he went, yeah, where does it say that? Did I ever tell you to take your equipment off? And when I'm getting grilled like this, instead of feeling sorry for me, I'm a victim. Oh, poor Aaron, hang in there. Hey, it'll be worth it. Endure. He's like, Use her air. Did I tell you to take off your equipment? No. I immediately started going, well, when do I get to take off my equipment? When do I get to relax? You know, when you're with me, like right now, that's when you get to take it off. But in this world, you'll have trouble. You're in a nuclear war, you idiot. And I looked at that and I went, this is football. So in football, you have a helmet, shoulder pads, all kinds of equipment. Every once in a while, you're going to get cold cocked. And you'll learn really quick not to daydream on the football field. If you play it, you know what I'm talking about. You'll see sucker punches and all these different things. but every once in a while you don't have your equipment on. And you know how dangerous it is to be on a football field without a helmet? In fact, they have a rule now, if your helmet comes off, what happens the next play? Person can't even come in. They have to go over, make sure the helmet's gonna work. Everything stops once you lose your helmet. Once you lose your equipment, everything should stop. Do you even have this thing on? If you don't, go get it on! So, my father had bought me a medallion, the armor of God. I had it hanging, but I had never used it. Isn't it look nice? I never considered actually using it. I thought it was... So then, after I got rebuked and reproved, grow up, you big sissy! So you got sucker punched by a teenager! Aaron, I thought you were a tough guy. I mean, I could get into a fist fight. I could get into altercation. I could hit my hand on the hammer and suck it in. But when a teenager hits you, Aaron, did that hurt? The difference is, if an enemy had done this, I would have blocked. So why don't you block? I shouldn't have to block with my family. Really? Lesson learned. Lesson learned. Next day, the next time I came home, blah, 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 and all of a sudden this medallion's swinging on the mirror. I look at it and went, oh, yes. Helmet. What is the helmet? Somebody? What's the helmet? Ephesians 6.
I don't know if it's salvation or not.
Salvation. Am I saved? Yes, I'm saved. What's the next equipment?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. If I'm not being righteous, do I have a breastplate on?
No.
No. There's Christians, I have the armor of God. No, you don't. You're going to go commit adultery, idolatry or adultery, or you're doing partial birth abortions. There's no breastplate on that. Are you being righteous? Yes. Belt of truth. Shoes of the...
Gospel of peace.
Gospel of peace. Shield of...
faith.
And the sword of the Ruach Kodesh, the spoken word. The shield only works if you block. And I went, you have to use it. You have to use it, Aaron. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Okay, I put on the helmet. I put on the breastplate. Put on the belt. Put the shoes on. I walk inside, and I walk in the house. A grenade launched at me. I went, whoa! Block. The word, the grenade that was meant to steal my... I don't know what these people have gone through. You have roommates? Wake up! They're going through spiritual warfare. They're going through emotions. They're going through disappointments. They're going through hormonal imbalances, disappointments, depressions. They're fighting things. You don't know what war is going on over there. So put your equipment on. So I got a grenade thrown at me. I went, bah! I blocked them. And instead of being offended, I laughed. Because I blocked it and went, ha ha! And the person who threw it was ashamed of themselves because I didn't fight back. I blocked. And then they went, I've had a bad day. And I went, Yahweh just neutralized something. And he was grooming me up. Friendly fire. Is the body of Christ or people? If you're around people, as long as you're around human beings, you need your equipment on. Yeah, you got to have it on. John 6:33. You can turn there real quick. And then when somebody gets you, if you just read verse 33. I already said it. Maybe it'd be good to read it. The next thing about blocking, and this is a true story, it's going to sound like I'm embellishing it. I wish I had the guy here to confirm how accurate it is, especially since I'm a storyteller. So always remember that when you're getting facts from a storyteller. You're getting facts from an accountant like my dad, they're going to be pretty exact. Sometimes it could have been so much cooler if you would have exaggerated here. But it's going to be exact. My dad's an accountant. He's very good at facts. My mom, she's a storyteller. I'm a storyteller. You're like, did that actually happen or did you make that? Well, I did put a little cool in here a little bit. But this is what the story was. Let somebody read that.
That's
6:33.
16:33.
Oh, 16. You said 6. All right. If I did, I'm at 16. But as you go there, I'll take you to the next story. I ran into a guy at the gym. This guy was a really nice guy. Really mild-mannered. No ego. big athlete wrestler, and we're at the, and it turns out I hear he goes, did you know he became an Army Ranger, Special Forces of the Army? I didn't even know he's in the military. And you look at him, he's just a nice, he's a big dude, but you, so mild man. What you'll find out is like Special Forces and the real bad dudes, they don't have to act bad. They don't have to have tattoos. They don't have to act cocky, like, get out of the way. They know they are. And so there's a little different. Anyway, they get to talk to this guy named Jesse. I'm not, later on, we're working. I'm like, you're Special Forces? And he went, yeah, but it was really just because I had really good eyesight. He blows it off. I go, what's that? Well, I could shoot really, really well. And so their targets were, and so that's all. It's not a big deal. I'm like looking and going, man, if I was Special Forces, I would have a cake. Of course! Did you see the cake? Special Forces! What did it say, verse 33?
These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Be taken courage, I have overcome the world.
When do you have peace?
You're in the world.
When you're with him. That's when you can take your equipment off. Just like we was telling me. You can take your equipment off. You can relax. And we should always be ready to have our equipment on. These lessons are going to be, you should always be ready to dodge a bullet. To duck. And every once in a while, Yahweh's going to say, remove your shoes, remove your combat boots, you're on holy ground. And unless he tells us to do those things, we should err on the side of caution. Err on the side of caution. Another one, and you're at a fork in the road. I don't think I came up with this. Yahweh must have given it to me because I think it's really, really smart. You got a fork in the road, you don't know which way to go. Err on the side of discipline. Which way do I go? What's the most disciplined way? Oh man. If you're going to make a mistake, be disciplined. Okay? And then you can come back, well, at least it wasn't because I was being lazy. It's like spending money or saving money. What should I do here? But when it comes to the equipment and the war you're in, if you're not sure, strap it up. Make sure it's on. And then Yahweh will tell you to take it off. But he tells you, with me you have peace, but in this world you're going to have tribulation. Now back to the Special Forces guy. He starts telling me like the hardest thing he ever did, it was the temperature. They're swimming in swimming pools with all their stuff on. And they do it till they drop their body temperature. And so they know what they're doing. So now their body temperature is dropping. When the body temperature drops, it leaves your extremities and your muscles. The heat and it circulates around your vital organs to keep you from shutting things down. And so what happens is other things don't have blood. Other things, when they don't have blood, they don't move very well. It's very difficult to function. And so that's why your ears go numb, your fingers, you can't feel them. The blood's not in there. It's trying to warm it. But he was talking about this thing in the pool, out of the pool, in the pool. And he goes, it's excruciating, it's difficult. And then he started laughing. Oh, there was one funny thing. I'm like, yes, I wanted something funny. For their Special Forces training, they had some sort of jiu-jitsu guy. He said he was a small, I don't know if he was Asian or I think he was Brazilian. He was a small, old man. Here's all these military guys at attention. Like this. Why are they there? Because they're bad dudes. Not with mouth, but they can endure a lot of stuff. And as this little jiu-jitsu guy is going to start showing them how to fight, they're like, we know how to fight. And he's going to say, not the level of what we want you to be. They're standing like this. The little bitty guy's walking back and forth and he lectures him. As he's lecturing him, he turns and punches the guy right in the stomach. He falls down. All the rest guys look down and look up. Lesson number one. Always block. Lesson number two. Pain has memory. Then he turns and he goes to punch the next guy. He blocks. Always block. Didn't matter where you are. And so he was like, yeah, I'm glad it wasn't me, but that dude got punched right in the stomach and everybody laughed. Did they learn the lesson? Always block. Yeah. And so there was that, and I was like, we should always be ready to block. We don't know what somebody's going through. We don't know these things. 1 Samuel chapter 18. So we didn't go through Ephesians 6, but it's Ephesians 6 chapter 10 through 17. It's the helmet. And if somebody's not being righteous, they don't have the equipment on. If you're not in Yahweh's will, you don't have the equipment on. I mean, you could, but why do you think Yahweh would protect you when you're out of His will? Right?
Right.
You might still have salvation. Have you ever seen Christians go to strip bars? Or you hear about Christians doing wicked things? That which you sow, you will reap, man. And so, if you got to be in Yahweh's will for these things to work. So people will talk about Ephesians 10, but it doesn't work unless you actually use it and you're in Yahweh's will. 1 Samuel chapter 18. See here. Seven through 11, please. If somebody would read that for me.
And the women that made merry responded to each other in song and said, Saul hath smitten his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. Then was Saul exceeding angry, and this saying was offensive in his eyes, and he said...
Okay, pause right there, but just hold it. Right where it said it, he said. How is David related to Saul?
It's his son-in-law.
It's his father-in-law. It's also his boss. It's also his Malek, his king. David's like, shut up! It's his father-in-law, it's his king. It's, so keep going.
Saul hath smitten his thousands, but David hath... Oh, I read that. Okay, then was Saul exceeding angry, and this saying was offensive in his eyes, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me have they ascribed thousands. What more then can he have but the kingdom?
And it doesn't say if this was said in secret or if this was in Saul's heart or if this was said in public. But can you imagine if the king, who doesn't have to speak in public, right? He's the king. Could you imagine if he said this out loud? David's like, oh! If it didn't say that. But can you imagine if David heard the king say that? Jeez! Oh, man! King's all right, but David, he's our man. It's my boss, my father-in-law, my king.
It says he said it.
Okay. But it didn't say it necessarily, it was in front of David. But I'd like you to imagine it was possibly. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Saul was eyeing David from that way forward. And when it came to pass on the morrow that a superhuman spirit of sadness came suddenly upon Saul, that he was moved to raving in the midst of the house. And David began playing with his hand as he had done day by day, that a spear being in Saul's hand. Saul hurled the spear and said to himself, I will smite David even to the wall. But David moved round from before him twice.
How many times?
Twice.
Okay. Always block. Always have your equipment on. This is his father-in-law. This is King David's hero outside of Yahweh and Samuel. He was the king who united Israel for 20 years to destroy the Philistines. And this is David's hero. I mean, you would imagine this is King Saul. And he throws a spear at him. If it would have been me, if I would have been King David, I would have got stuck to the wall. Because I would have my equipment off. Hi, Dad. Whoa, wait a minute. Got me. He dived out of the way. You should be ready to dodge. He did it twice. And here Yahweh records it. Going to go, holy moly. David, how was your day? Father-in-law tried to kill me again. Oh, yeah. Thanksgiving's coming up, right? Make sure your shoes are tied. But you look at that, and then in 2 Samuel, let me see here. No, in verse 1 Samuel chapter 20, we don't have to go there. We don't have to go there. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 33, Jonathan has a spear thrown at him. Jonathan was a good man. He had a weakness. He chose his family over Yahweh. That was his fault. But Jonathan was a great man. But right here, he has his father throw a spear at him. But did he live? Yeah, there's a saying. But did you die? And so the thing could be, here's illustrations of family warfare. If Satan, if the adversary did have access to our family, he would use whatever is the most effective weapon, if he could. And I'm not saying that he can't. But if the weapons in the family are not effective weapons, then he's not encouraged to use them. But But if the person that he could always get out to get you, if he could have access to getting you out of fellowship, and it's that one family member, oh, I already got somebody. I got an inside man. But if you duck, if you dodge, if you block, you can actually neutralize it. And maybe the adversary wouldn't use him if he could. And I'm not saying that he could, but just don't, but we can render these things, ineffective, possibly. But it's a whole other way of looking at things. Because when David is in the warfare, do you think he ever dodged a spear before?
Yeah.
Did Goliath have a spear?
Yeah, big giant one.
Well, we know he had a sword.
Oh, yeah.
And some of his other stuff, you're going to go, David probably dodged spears all the time. He was a man of war. He dodged lion, bear, fight, and here's the whole thing. Don't take it personal. Wrestlers are like that. They'll come in, they start looking at you, and like, hey, back up. Wrestlers start coming in. They start sizing you up. And then it's nothing personal. Boxers, too. It's just kind of placement. So we got to do the same thing. David had dodged spears all the time, so why was this different? It wasn't anything different, except for here and here. It's personal if you take it personal. But when you take a step back on, I don't care if it's a family member, I don't care if it's the Apostle Paul rebuking me in front of the church of Galatia, just be ready to move around. But in that case, that wouldn't be a good example because Peter was out of line, but it doesn't matter. Be ready to move. Be ready to dodge. If somebody calls you an idiot, if it's somebody who you don't know, then bother you. But anyways, be ready to block. 2 Samuel chapter 19, 1 through 6. Well, actually, I'm sorry. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 4. Go there first. 1 Samuel 24, verse 4. If somebody would read that for me.
So David's men said unto him, lo, the day of which Yahweh said unto thee, lo, I am about to deliver up thine enemy into thy hand, therefore shalt thou do unto him as shall be good in thine eyes. And David arose and cut off the corner of the robe which belonged to Saul by stealth. And it came to pass afterwards that David's heart smote him because he had cut off the corner of the robe which belonged to Saul. And he said unto his men, far be it from me of Yahweh that I should do this thing unto my Lord, unto the anointed of Yahweh, to thrust forth my hand against him, for the anointed of Yahweh is he.
Verse 7.
So David did chide his men with the words, and did not suffer them to rise up against Saul.
So King Saul's hunting him. He's trying to kill him. David did nothing. What is David's problem? He's with Yahweh. David represents Yahweh. People are going to attack you because you represent Yahweh. If you're speaking truth, you're teaching truth, they're going to hate you. He warns us. You want to blend in with the world? You can, but that's a broad way. You want to represent me? Faint heart? Not going to make it. This is special forces what we have here. Don't whine about how hard your life is. He's called you. We volunteered for this. And the rewards are better than anything you could ever imagine. It's a unique life. But think about special forces too. They got wives and whole family. They live in a whole other universe. But they have perks. Neat perks. They get certain things that will make it worth their while. How much more so will Yahweh and Christ do with us? But he's raising stuff like this, and this is King David fighting spiritual warfare, because this man's going to murder him, kill him. What should he do? He should kill him. But he does not. He's walking by the rule. Don't kill him. What do you mean don't kill him? Our equipment works when we are with Yahweh. If David did anything, if we're going to do anything like David, it's checking in. Shall I go? Shall I not go? Should I do this? Should I not? This is a no-brainer. Saul's trying to kill people. He's evil. He killed the priests. You guys remember that? He killed all the priests. He deserves death. What did David do? Don't do it. That's David with his equipment on. The equipment. If we're with Yahweh walking in step, we are untouchables. But we got to be with him. Then how does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. 1 Corinthians talks about suffering wrong, right? Yeah. And then every once in a while somebody reminds me I got to suffer wrong from a loved one and I get really insulted. I shouldn't be shocked. A loved one, I got to suffer, I got to take it? King David is showing us how to suffer wrong. Friendly fire again. He's going to let him off the hook. Maybe, and then I can imagine David afterwards, maybe he'll stop chasing me. Yes! Christmas! I'll get to see Michael. I'll get to see Jonathan. I'll get to see my nieces and nephews. We'll go back together. I can imagine if I was David, I would go to chapter 26, 1 through 6. We don't have to go there. Chapter 26, 1 through 6. Saul's trying to kill him again. He's delivered into his enemy, and Yahweh doesn't give him the green light. Can you imagine David's men? What's going on here? But what do they know about David? A neat thing to learn about Vikings and people that traveled the world is that what they called luck, they wanted somebody with what they called luck. Actually, Captain Jack Sparrow of Pirates of the Caribbean reminded me a lot of Leif Erikson or Leif Erikson. Leif Erikson was a Christian. And it looked like he's the luckiest man there's out there. They will rally behind that. Sports will do the same thing. This guy's got something up their sleeve, but here's King David as he walked with Yahweh. And here it is, spiritual warfare. Don't kill him. Every once in a while, Yahweh might tell us to spare somebody. Turn around and walk away. And then that's going to be friendly fire. When to block and when to turn. And you're like, because those things don't make sense to me. It reminds me of Gollum not being put to death in Lord of the Rings. Why would I not kill Gollum? Right? Did you ever see the movie? Never seen the movie. Okay. The villain is spared just like this. Why didn't you kill him? And it drives you nuts until the very end of the movie. And you get to see why. And you're like, wow, good writing. Yahweh's the best writer. It's just good writing. Enjoy the writing. Enjoy the dissonance. Yeah. You can enjoy it to say, why are you so stressed out? It's a sitcom! Don't get so stressed out. It's just a YouTuber. It's that. Oh, okay. Your life is... When we were with Yahweh, we can enjoy the dissonance. Going, man, the resolution is going to be fantastic. Not just trudging along. I'll do anything for you. I like cheering up. I'm happy. Come on, man. But bringing it back. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16.
Did you mean 2 Samuel?
1 Samuel. We're going to go back to 1 Samuel. Now we're going to look at two possible bad illustrations. We should always stick to what the scriptures say. And so for these purposes, I'm going to kind of try to apply it to us. Family warfare, Christian warfare. Having your armor on, learning to block. Don't take it personal. I had to do that with one player when I coached at South High School. He was a good player. But he was a kid from upper crust. Most of the kids at South were from trailer parks and the bad part. The people from the wrong side of the tracks, they know how to pick on each other. They're raised with this fraternity pushing. Don't talk about my mama. Ooh, doesn't like the mama. They started doing this thing. And this kid from that was wealthy at South High, I don't know what he was doing there. They kept picking on him and getting him out of his game. So finally I had to take him to the side and he was pissed. I go, you want to play? Yeah. And I go, okay, you're not going to step back on the field until you say this 25 times. What? Nothing's personal. I'm not saying it. Okay, sit. Finally comes back. He goes, are you serious? Say it 25 times. I want to hear it 25 times. Nothing's personal. He finally got done saying, I said, do you understand that nothing's personal out there? It's a game. If you take it personal, you lost this war. If you don't have this war, you're not going to do your job. You don't do your job, I can't have you out there. You're the best player on the field. Nothing is personal. Everybody on the field understands that except for you. And he looked at me and he's all, oh, you're picking on me, coach. I go, are you kidding me? The weakest thing about you is this thing. It's not personal. If you can overcome that, I got a player out here that's 5'6", 119 pounds. That's an obstacle. Because we got defensive tackles that are 6'7". Just get over it, man. 25 times, nothing's personal, and it didn't work. it didn't work, and then he finally got it. Nothing's personal. And then Yahweh, through teaching kids, starts teaching me. Now you do the same thing when your family does something to you. Sucker punches, nothing's personal. I don't know what they're dealing with. Block, block. Every once in a while, you're going to get you, you're like, why didn't I have my equipment on? I don't know what their problem is, but where was my equipment? What's going on with that? So somebody read 19, 1 through 6. Where do we go?
16.
Yeah, 16, verse 1.
And Yahweh said unto Samuel, how long are they going to pine for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from being king over Israel?
Now, I'm not going to say anything about Samuel's situation, but Yahweh's correcting him, is he not?
Mm-hmm.
Because of a loved one. And Yahweh said, how long are you going to pine for this guy? And Yahweh... We're going to pine for people. We're going to hurt. But we are only protected when we're with Yahweh. And every once in a while, if we're not walking in step with Yahweh, like He is a halo, a force field, then we're possibly going to be attacked or we're going to make ourselves vulnerable. And here, through pining through Saul, it could be that every once in a while, you want to know the biggest way Yahweh or the adversary of the world is going to try to get you out of your calling? Relationships. People. That if you're trying to reach back to save somebody, now all of a sudden, I'm outside the barrier that's protected. You're going to get shot. You're going to get hurt. Yahweh says, don't pine for him anymore. Nothing's personal. And so in that case, Samuel is corrected. Get in line, forget about it. Nothing's personal. We got war here. We'll deal with that. We'll sift all that stuff later. It'll make sense in the end. We got too much stuff going on. I just rebuked somebody who's talking about Jesus Christ is coming back. What's the point? We gotta go get some ammo. We gotta get some guns. We gotta do this. This is what we gotta do. And I just heard a teaching, so I can't take credit for it. I go, you sound so selfish. You're so worried about the book of Revelation that you're not thinking about taking care of anybody but yourself? And he went, But he's coming back because these signs, and I went, the scriptures say, and the scriptures are not talking about the parousia, but it's talking about the other resurrection. But he says, I don't know, only the Father knows. It's none of your business. I give you plenty of things to worry about. Don't worry about that. And every once in a while, and so that was him, me rebuking him, going, quit worrying about when Christ is coming back. How many people have you led to speaking in tongues? None. How many people have you led into prophesying? None. How many times have you read through the whole Bible? None? Okay, he's giving you plenty of stuff to do. Don't worry about that. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 19, 1 through 6, page 341. So somebody falls out of your life. It's a family member. It's a loved one. And maybe they're exposed. And I like to think of it that with Israel, when they were in Egypt, they had a pillar of fire to keep them warm, but they had to follow the pillar.
Yeah.
I used to think about that and I imagined fathers and mothers and fathers telling their kids not to veer out away from the cloud. Don't. Stay around here. Oh, okay, yeah, don't touch this. Don't touch this, right? I wonder how many Israelites got lost out and they came back sunburned, almost dead. What did you think was going to happen, right? And so I didn't say that ever happened, but you can imagine teenagers learning the hard way what life is like in the desert without Yahweh. It's 120 degrees. Maybe they survived. Learn your lesson, living without Yahweh. So our job is to follow Yahweh wherever He's going. And with Samuel, Yahweh's not talking to Saul anymore, so why would you talk to him? Yahweh's going this way. Pillars that way. And what did Samuel do? I'm going that way. Another example of possibly the friendly fire and somebody not doing possibly the right thing. Would somebody read 6? Where did I say it? 1 through 6? Yeah.
19, 1 through 6?
Yeah.
And it was told Joab, lo, the king is weeping and mourning over Absalom. So the victory on that day was turned into mourning with all the people, for the people heard on that day saying, the king is distressed for his son. And the people stole away on that day to go into the city, as people steal away who are put to shame when they flee in battle. But the king muffled his face, and the king made outcry with a loud voice, "Oh, my son Absalom! Oh, Absalom, my son, my son!" Then came Joab unto the king in the house and said, "Thou hast today covered with shame the faces of all thy servants who have rescued thy life today, and the life of thy sons and the daughters, and the lives of thy wives, and the lives of thy concubines, by loving them who hated thee, and hated them who loved thee. And thou hast declared today that nothing to thee are princes or servants, for I perceive today that if Absalom had lived, and all we today have died, that then it had been right in thine eyes. Now therefore, arise up, go, and speak unto the heart of thy servants, for by Yahweh have I sworn that if thou do not go forth, not a man shall tarry with thee tonight, and this will be to thee a greater misfortune than all the misfortunes that have come upon thee from thy youth until now." So the king arose and took his seat in the gate, and to all the people was it told, saying, "Lo, the king is sitting in the gate." Then came all the people before the king, but Israel had fled every man to his house.
So here is an example of David, his son, his evil son, who chose evil, was killed, and David mourned the loss of the son. Is that understandable? Yeah. Have I been David like that? Yeah. Mourned wicked people in my life. Mm-hmm. Come look and I go, "How could you do this? How could you? How? How?" But in this case, it's easy for me to read to go, Yahweh and his angels are celebrating, and David is weeping. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. We're trying to. Can you? What are you doing? You're bumming us out, man. Do you know what just happened? Do you not? You read about it, about how they were outnumbered. Well, David's men were you know, they've been with him for a long time. Yahweh delivered David. Right. It wasn't by chariots, these rest of these things. These people were David, and David was there, and Yahweh delivered him, and he was mourning a loved one. And in my opinion, this could be an example of a loved one who is living outside the will of Yahweh, distracting us from being protected. Because Yahweh's not there. He's not mourning Absalom out of the grave. Yahweh's going this way. And so Joab in this area is really good counsel, going, "You better snap it up, man." And he does. But we could do the same thing with friendly fire, going, not only could we be attacked, that they could distract us from our whole calling, like Lot's wife looking back, "Oh, Sodom and Gomorrah, they had such good show tunes." She's dead. And Yahweh's going, "Don't mourn about this. It's easy for us to mock them." You're like, "No. Yeah, I'm with Yahweh. And when I don't want to be with Yahweh, no, if you're not with Yahweh, you're exposed. And we are weak people, small in number, compared to the Nephilim and the demons and the Nancy Pelosi's. We don't stand a chance to these guys with the Democrat Party, do we? But when we're with Yahweh, we'll be good." So David, what does he do? I like to think of it as grabbing the hem of Yahweh's cloak. "I'm with you." Like the woman reached out for the hem of Jesus Christ's garment. "I'm with that guy. I don't care what I got to do." And I believe David did that wherever Yahweh was going. And that's why he spared his life, Saul's life, a couple of times. Wherever Yahweh goes, I'm going. "Well, I'm going to go write a song." "Okay, I'll sing a song. I'm going to go cut the head off a giant." "I'll cut the head off the giant with you. I'm going to go do this. I'll do that too. Wherever you go, I'm going to go." And that's what we should do. Wherever Yahweh wants us to go. Every once in a while, it's going to be our family members that we're going to... And it's usually not us turning our back on them. They turn their back on Yahweh. So you either turn your back on Yahweh or turn your back on them. Well, if I turn my back on Yahweh, well, then I'll be exposed and so is my family. That'd be a secondary, third reason. 2 Corinthians chapter 3:13. So I like to think of when you have a shield and you can block, and you have to use a shield to block. But things could be exposed where the shield's not blocking things. You have to actually use it, right? And I think that when we're not in Yahweh's will, if we're not in fellowship, it's almost like the shield's over here and the fire's coming this way. You got to be able to turn and block, and sometimes it can be our friendly family, our friendly fire from our family, from our loved ones, unsuspected people. It could be out of nowhere, but we should be blocked. Wow, holy smokes, who is that? It's Absalom. My son? Yeah, Yahweh hates him. Okay, well, we'll deal with that later. Yahweh hates him? Yeah, he hates. Yahweh hates certain things. He hates wickedness and these other things. Verse 13 through 15, somebody read that.
I had no relief in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother.
Second
Corinthians 3:13.
Somebody else go ahead.
Ready, Melania?
Yeah.
But their thoughts were turned into stone for unto...
No.
Dad, would you do it, please?
And are not just like Moses, who kept putting a veil upon his face, so that the sons of Israel should not look steadily unto the end of that which was to be done away. But their thoughts were turned into stone. For until this very day, the same veil upon the reading of the old covenant abideth not to be removed, because in Christ it is to be done away. But unto this day, whensoever Moses read, a veil upon the heart doth lie.
Let me read there. Here's Moses. Moses didn't want to be in charge of all these people. These aren't my kids. But that's where Yahweh was. Moses, I can imagine just wanting to be a shepherd. Just meaning you and I. No, Moses, if you want to be with me, I'm over here shepherding all these wicked people. Here's Moses, his face shining, heart's turning to stone. But Moses was untouchable. I mean, now 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. And I'm going to take this verse and kind of apply it to warfare and being protected from the warfare around us. Each one's work shall be made manifest, for the day will make it plain, because by fire it is to be revealed. That means everything we did in this life is going to go through like an editing thing. What did you do here, Aaron? Forgot about that. Took a lot of therapy. That's not going to make it. Here comes this conveyor belt. Going through the fire. Ooh, that one's going to make it. It's not going to make it? Oh, man. That's going to make it. And you're going to see things going like right through the fire. And the things that were done correctly are going to be sustained. Okay, so we'll read. For the day will make it plain, because by fire it will be revealed, and each one's work of what sort it is, the fire itself will prove. Think about that, David turning from Absalom. When David turned his back on the grave of Absalom, will that make it through the fire? Yeah. When David spared Saul, will that make it through the fire? Absolutely. And we look at Moses or the Apostle Paul or people doing things that don't make sense. Is that going to go through the fire? How about Abraham taking the knife to kill his son, believing Yahweh would resurrect him? How is Sarah going to understand this? She's not going to have to. I'm coming down with my son. Wow. You think that's going to make it through the fire? Can you imagine the angels? Whoa, yeah, here comes Abraham. Oh, everybody's sitting around going, who's next? You, after Abraham? Oh, no, let me go last. But here it's going to be. It's going to go through the fire. And anyways, where did I stop? Verse 14, anyone's work shall abide which he built, a reward shall he receive. This life is an audition. It's a trial life. The whole purpose of this life is a job interview for the new heaven and earth, and where we're going to be working, what we're going to do. Worthy of little, worthy of much. Can you take it? Can you suffer it? And when we remember the purpose of this life is to show how worthy we'll be, how obedient. Well, nobody's with me anymore. Is the purpose of your calling to have followers, or is it to obey Yahweh and what His calling is? And every once in a while, He's going to call people like Jeremiah when there's nobody around. Jeremiah, you think he's going to have some rewards? Holy moly. Absolutely. And not to say Jeremiah's was any harder than David's. All of them's difficult. But everybody has got called to certain things. Everybody's got gifts. Everybody's got time. What'd you do with it? One of the best examples of this, I love ministering to people who are lazy and they're victims, because there's an Australian guy that's born with no arms and no legs. Mm-hmm. He's a motivational speaker. He's incredible. He's got a beautiful wife and beautiful kids. Are you kidding me? Is that good writing?
Yeah.
What did he have? He had time. What else did he have? I got a heartbeat. I got a mouth. His own family didn't want him. He got adopted. Yeah. And he's a motivational speaker. What did he do with what he had? Oh my goodness, the resurrection. So what do we got? We've got time, we've got these other things. But an important thing about that is I like to think of that Yahweh uses fire to prove things, to accept sacrifices. And he tells us, I think it's Isaiah 43, the fire will have no authority over you. Neither will the water have authority over you. Moses walked through the Red Sea. Jesus Christ walked on top of the ocean. Elijah stopped the moisture. Authority above these elements. Isn't that neat? Mm. We can have authority above elements, but we have to be with Yahweh. And a good example of this fire and these things, because our life is being tried by fire. And then I think it says in James that through temptations and trials builds, I don't know if it's character, forget what it is. He goes, stop being a whiny complaining. You're getting really good at this stuff. They're learning how to fight. They're learning how to block. And there's another person that learns how to fight, how to block. And instead of being a victim, they're going, I can't wait to put these moves on somebody. Right? Turn to Daniel chapter 3. Verse 16. Verse 3, Nebuchadnezzar, very interesting guy, neat guy. Talk about a fun story with this guy. Anyways, he makes a golden image. My notes say 80 feet. Everybody's got to bow down to worship it, okay? And if you don't worship, you're going to be thrown into a fire, okay? If you say anything about the Democrat Party, you're going to lose your tax exemption. What's tougher? Fire or tax exemption in the Johnson Amendment? Or is it you don't want to lose your congregation? Verse 16, you're going to fast forward through most of this. After they warn, I'll go back to verse 15. Now if you be ready at the time, you shall hear the sound of the cornet. So Nebuchadnezzar's going, hey, Shad, Meshach, Abed, come here. I know what they're saying, but let's get this thing real clear. This is what's going to happen. You're going to get down. You're going to do what I say. You work for me. I'm the king, right? And he's making it real clear. And in my opinion, he's giving him a second chance. He might have shot your mouth off to these guys. I'm Neb. Okay? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, oh, this is perfect on word of promise too. This is great. You got to hear it. And they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not accounting it needful concerning this to answer thee. If it is our Elohim whom we serve is able to deliver us out of the burning furnace of fire and out of thy hand, O king, he will deliver. But if not, what a way to go, baby. What a way to go. But if not, it known to thee, O king, that thy Elohim will we not serve, and the image of gold which thou hast set up will we not adore. Okay, what's really, 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 really important with this illustration is these guys are not martyrs tempting Yahweh and being idiots going on missions trips they're not supposed to. These guys are righteous Hebrews that would have hit their knees asking Yahweh, what do we do? And Yahweh would have confirmed, don't bow. Or it could have been like Jesus Christ. Have this cup pass for me. I'm a jealous Elohim. You want your idolatry? Have your idolatry. If I don't bow down to these three gods, I'm going to lose everything. Do whatever you want. But they would have conferred with Yahweh. And it would have been, okay. And what's going to happen? Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath. And that, like, can you imagine angels getting popcorn? Oh my goodness! You see this? Hey, grab your Diet Coke. Oh, look at this! Look at this fire! Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and the likeness of the countenance was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spake and gave word to heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated. And the men who were with his mightiest men in his army gave him word to bind fast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them into the burning furnace of fire. Then bound they these men in their trousers, their tunics, their cloaks, and their other clothing, and cast him in the midst of the burning furnace of fire. Therefore, because the word of the king had raged forth and the furnace was exceedingly hot, those very men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were slain by the flame of the fire. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fire. This is dissidence. We can read this going, yes. Oh, yes, the root. We can do the same thing with our life. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was amazed, and he rose up, he spake, and said unto his nearest friends, why? Were there not 3 men we cast into the midst of the fire, fast bound? They answered and said to the king, surely, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and injury there is not in them. And the appearance of the fourth is like the sons of the Elohims. Then Nebuchadnezzar draw near to the door of the furnace of the fire. Isn't it neat? He didn't tell somebody else to do it. He calls up. He spake and says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High Elohim. I imagine he might have been on his knees. Step forth and come hither. Then step forth Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the midst of the fire, and being gathered there together, the satraps and nobles and the pashas or governors and near friends of the king saw these men over there whose bodies the fire had no power, nor the hair of their head singed, neither were their trousers disfigured, nor had the smell of fire come upon them. And the point of that is, I wanted to tie this in, that when we are with Yahweh, when we are being obedient, when we are walking with Him, when we are checking in with Him, and when we say, your will, not my own will, and we mean it, and we circumcise our heart, go, though all depart from me, I will never leave thee, like Peter, but we mean it, we are untouchable. But if we reach back for Absalom's, for King Saul's, or these people that they can, if I don't help them, it's like reaching out from Yahweh's protection into that fire. And He can't protect you with your freedom of will. You're going to get burned. You're going to get hurt. And it's not His will. So stick into it. And so we become fireproof. We'll be untouchable. We check in with Yahweh. We block. You make sure your equipment's on, especially before you walk into a room. I live alone. There's nobody here. I don't have to worry about me being in a bad mood or something. But if you live with other people, put on your equipment. Be ready to block. Let me see here. Be ready to dodge a spear. Christmas is coming up. Have your shoes tied. You ready to dodge a spear? What happened? David's famous for it, man. We're going to get to see that on the big screen someday. Look at that move. Look at this move. Jonathan dodged a spear too, going, yeah. I wonder if maybe Jonathan watched the spear get thrown and be like, man, that was a nice move. That looked like a Matrix. Or whatever. You ready to dodge a spear? Who knows? You know, who's going to throw a spear at you? We don't know. But we got to lighten up. To say, Yahweh, we live for you in Christ. We want to be with you. It didn't call us into an easy life. Strap it up. Tell other people to strap it up. Dig it in. Check in. And we'll be untouchable. And instead of us being perishing unneedfully, we can become a burning, ascending offering to Yahweh, looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is that faith?
Yeah.
And look at the... let me see here. And then let go of those who are not walking in step with Yahweh. Real important. Because if you're not walking in step with Yahweh, you're exposed to the elements of this world. So we'll go ahead and hear from Father. Father, we thank you for your words. Do not be tearful of anything, but instead rejoice and choose joy and choose to bring me triumphant messages. For I am aware of all words and circumstances. There is no news article or situation I am unaware of. But what I desire from my children is a relationship, honor, dignity. And to honor me and to come before a king, you would do it on bent knees. You would do it in respect. And you would do it with thought. And you would premeditate on how you would even bring things up, knowing that the king wants joy. He wants chesed, justice, righteousness. And when you do these things, you enable me to minister to these people in these situations and wrap you in my cloak. Amen.